Dick?
I think of spirituality as that complete connections with people, with nature, and since compassion does that, I think it's essentially spiritual. It's connecting, even what leads to it. Jay was saying that, you know, the ability to project yourself in someone else's skin, what they may be feeling, hurting, or whatever, is part of, I think, getting out of our own isolation and connection with someone else. Compassion is a part of that.
Okay.
I feel like compassion itself is absolutely spiritual because of the connectivity and the feelings. It's like I imagine a little energy connection, like a ray of light or something, combining the two people or however many people are involved in the compassion. But the process by which you get there is, it can be just an inner struggle, man versus man, and it's a lot of work. But that too can be extremely spiritual.
Dick? I mean, Ray, sorry.
I guess one of the words I want here is empathy, that I don't think there's compassion without empathy. And there's been some discussion lately about the fact that men don't read fiction, we read nonfiction. And so we don't learn to empathize with those characters in the fiction account.
I think there was something there.
Who knew it was that simple?
I am on the wrong platform.
So we'll start and have a fiction reading list for all of the men in the UU Fellowship.
And I'll let her take over.
You can't find compassion in nonfiction?
I think you can.
And empathizing, characters empathizing with other people. And supposedly, men go the military route too often, the force. Yes.
We talked about that. Oftentimes men want to solve the problem. You know, you have a problem, here's the solution. So it's kind of along the same lines. But we all have the capacity for compassion.
It's very Unitarian that it all comes down to reading.
Margaret?
Well, a couple of teachers in here agreed, and others actually. That's a good point. It came from another part of. Well, let me start all over again. spiritual practice. I mean, compassion is a spiritual practice, and I often felt in teaching middle school that it required my spiritual beliefs that there is dignity in each person to get through the day. And in order to deal with that particular person or group of kids, I had to remember that, and that's what would get me through being able to deal with them compassionately, despite the fact they were doing bad things. And we shared that in different groups here, I mean, from different points of view. So to me, it definitely is. I agree with you.
Jean?
We talked about, some of us are early childhood teachers, and, you know, just the parenting and these teachers, little kids don't know what the right behavior is, so they have to be taught. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a really spiritual practice to be a parent or a teacher of young children, because so much of the time we're teaching.
You know, I wonder about that. Like, what's our true nature if we're teaching children? And I kind of have the perspective that if only we like show children how wondrous it is to remove the barriers of our own wanting and desires and show them how beautiful it is to connect, that is what we're teaching them, is that the true nature of removing the wanting. and the suffering, and that it just reveals one of the truths of the world, rather than imposing some sort of rule upon the world to maintain order, or removing blocks to find this, you know, really powerful undercurrent of connection. I guess it's spiritual.
Margaret?
I'm reminded of the 6 degrees of separation concept. What would happen? Would it be transformative to teach every child to get them to embrace that we are all connected by only six degrees of separation?
Mm-hmm. That you're bigger than just where
you are. And that you are connected to those who suffer most, who are bad. I remember presenting that in a classroom and watched a girl just transform before my very eyes. She was from a very, very conservative, very well-known family in the town. And it was like, oh, what if I really am connected to the thief? What if I really am one of those people? What if I'm only connected by 6 steps to that person? I'll never forget it. It was probably the most transformative moment I've ever seen in a classroom. And it was just simply that. What if we're all connected, by the way?
I can be better than you. I am everybody.
Did any of you talk about self-compassion?
Yes.
Carolyn, what did you say about self-compassion?
What I said was, our question was what gets in the way of compassion? And I said, you have to be compassionate with yourself before you can really share compassion with others.
So you must be a Buddhist at heart.
Probably.
Yeah.
What does that look like when you're compassionate towards yourself? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I guess maybe I pick up that word forgiveness. Forgiving my own mistakes. I think it's hard to be compassionate. I think that's truly a hard thing to do. You hurt someone, and can you forgive yourself for doing that hurt so that you can move on?
We also hurt ourselves by our behaviors. Mm-hmm. And can we forgive ourselves for the fact that we create a lot of our own problems?
Mm-hmm. Or even admit that.
Yeah,
because it's so much easier to think that you're a victim and that it's coming from the outside. Mm.
One of the things that I read about the Buddhists was that, let me think how they said it. The recommendation is that when you do something that hurts someone else, or that, you know, obviously is bad behavior towards someone else, I think they said that, you know, people have a tendency to go back and they feel bad and they say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, what was I thinking? I'm a terrible person. And instead, what they suggest that you say to yourself is, I'm human just like everyone else. And everyone else has probably at some point or another done something bad to someone else. Instead of continuously berating yourself, to say to yourself, this just makes me a human just like everyone else. And I just thought it was really interesting to read that, because I don't necessarily think that for most of us that's our reaction when we do something to hurt somebody else. We have a tendency to sit there and think how horrible we are and how awful we are, rather than to say to ourselves, we're human just like everyone else is. Now, that's not to say that what we did was the right thing, but you have to remind yourself that you're a human just like everyone else is.
I think to take it a step further, I think then you have to think, if I did that and I know that that was wrong, what can I do in the future to not to do that again, not to repeat that?
Mm-hmm. But how can I make amends?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can I make amends if I did something wrong? And if I make an effort to make amends with that person, you know, then I can let go of beating myself up. You know, can I apologize? Can I make restitution?
Nancy, did you want to say something before?
Similarly, but not the same, we touched on being able to accept compassion yourself. Mm-hmm. Not just give it.
But Ray's point about empathy, or what others have said, you know, feeling yourself in somebody else's situation, in a way, seems like compassion is always about giving to yourself. At least that's what I find. You know, that I'm trying to, whatever it is, or Nancy said, just smiling at someone. That's how I like to be treated. So in a way, I'm kind of giving it to myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave you with one last thing. I typically don't drive here, but this morning I did. And right as I got out of the car, I heard on the radio that the person made the suggestion that if you want to feel more compassionate towards yourself, that at the end of the day, you sit down and you write down all of the nice things that you did for other people. And that, and when you start to do that, you'll kind of sort of start like a little competition within yourself. And you'll say, well, yesterday I did 6 things, but today, I did 8 things. And tomorrow I think I can do 10 things. And so it's just a way of practicing being compassionate and being conscious of the compassionate acts that you do during the day. Because I would guess to be self-compassionate, that's probably another thing that we don't necessarily stop and think about at the end of the day. What did we do for someone else today? How did we show compassion today? And that might be a real eye-opening experience for us to do that. So, well, I hope you enjoyed this little hybrid, this I believe, discussion stuff. If you're interested, several of these questions, and I'm sorry I don't have the exact citing, but basically it is questions that were posed to the Dalai Lama in an interview that was done with him. So if you're interested in finding that online, all you have to do is just Google questions about compassion, and it should be one of the first things that comes up. It was an interview that was done with the Dalai Lama. So. So if you could now go back to your seats, or if you want to stand and sing from where you are, you certainly can.
Well, good discussion.